You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balanced. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the boss over at that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, we are starting a second season of Bear and Balanced. It's by popular demand. We are going to run it back, and we are going to keep going with this format. So how are you feeling? How's the off season treat you? Did you get some time away, or, you know, is there no off season for you?
I mean, there's really no off season. I mean, that's how the NFL wants it. The NFL wants us fans talking about their product 12 months a year. And that's pretty much what there is. There's a small lull, like three or four weeks before camp starts. But that's usually when the players get in trouble. So that's really the only lull in the news cycle. But that's for me, I mean, this is my top sport. I'm a top Bears fan. I mean, that's really, you know, I follow other sports, but as far as what I actually deep dive into, it's all the NFL. It's all the Chicago Bears. So I'm good with the 12-month cycle.
Well, much like the Chicago Bears, we took January off. And so we did take some time, January, February, for the most part with podcasting. We did kind of just watch the playoffs and, you know, took a little time, tried to reset, thinking about some off-season projects, what we wanted to do. But now we're going to get back into it. It's not going to be an every week thing, of course, because, you know, there's not enough to talk about every week. But we're going to get going on some regular basis. And it's too much fun to talk to you. So we want to make sure that we're doing that on a regular basis. And so we haven't had a podcast together since the turnover at Hallis Hall. And so before we get into our categories, I want to just see, you know, how you feeling about Ryan Poles? How you feeling about Matt Eberflus? The changes at Hallis Hall, what'd you think?
You know, it's funny that the last time we did a show was, I think it was the night of the press conference, the McCaskey Phillips debacle. So that was not a very balanced show. That was pretty, you know, as far as we go, we were both pretty fired up at that point. I mean, we knew change was coming. It just wasn't, they didn't go about it the right way, but now they got, you know, Poles, Matt Eberflus, and I'm probably about as excited I've been about the Bears teams in a while, probably since when they hired Pace and Nagy, but, you know, that kind of goes with the territory.
I believe you titled that episode, What the Hell Just Happened?
What the hell just happened?
I think it was our highest downloaded episode.
It was.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes that
pissed
that
off is, fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there. That's good for the numbers, I guess. So we're going to have a free agent episode. We're going to talk about all the free agency, pre-free agency stuff that we've been kind of hearing, things we're interested in, things we think are going to happen, and things we'd like to see happen. We're going to continue with the format that served us so well during the season. We will see how this works. I don't know if it's an interchangeable format for everything, but we're gonna see how it works. So all of our shows start off with a trench tribute. So how we're going to do this is who do you think the Bears can add in free agency on the offensive or defensive lines?
You know, I actually, I had my notes all ready to go. I was all, you know, I had my, what, who I want to talk about here. Then I listened to your other show, Bears Over Beers, and you guys talked about this guy quite a bit, and that's Rams center Brian Allen. I just think he is a perfect fit for what the Bears want to do, especially with Ryan Poles came out and talked about he wants, he's looking for athletes on his O-line. You know, he wants to make sure he has those guys that he can move, they get to the second level, they can work that outside zone scheme, and that's Brian Allen. I mean, he had a severe injury, I think 2 years ago, but this last season he played every game. He wasn't on the same level as like a guy like Ryan Jensen, you know, but he's a damn good center. He fills a need for the Bears, And, you know, he is a fairly local guy from Hinsdale Central High School, which is 20 miles west of Chicago. So for me, it's Brian Allen. He's not going to set the market at center. He'll come a little lower. And I think at some point you got to pay and you have to right a wrong that the last regime did. And, you know, center is definitely a need.
Yeah, I don't think you can overstate just how cool it is that he's a Chicago area guy. Yeah. And I think that I'm going out on a little bit of a limb, but I'm assuming that he's a Bears fan.
Or it's possible. Bears fan. It's possible.
And so this could be a good opportunity here. Now, you think, oh, Rams just won a Super Bowl. Hey, the Rams have the highest paid players in certain positions. They're not going to be able to re-sign everybody. And Brian Allen may have a better market if he goes elsewhere. He might be happy in LA and he might be happy to sign for whatever they can throw at him. But I think it's a really stars are aligning a lot with that. I like that. I really like Ryan Jensen. I wanted to just mention that, kind of close that loop. I don't think that he's going to get out of Tampa Bay because there was a really big retirement in Tampa Bay that opened up a lot of money. And of course I'm talking about Ali Marpet, not anybody else that retired from Tampa Bay. Ali Marpet, really good guard and pretty well paid. And so that is going to open up some money for the Bucks, and that's going to make it much harder for them to justify losing Ryan Jensen when they just lost another interior offensive lineman. I don't think he gets the market. I think they keep Jensen. They're not paying Brady. They're not paying Marpet. They did pay a lot of money to try to bring it back and see if they could win it again this last year. But if I had to put a dollar on it, I'd say that Jensen stays a Buck. And so he's not even going to be on the market. Allen won't get Jensen money, but Allen's going to get that's going to be a pretty good contract for him. And so you just hope that he doesn't price himself out of Chicago. But I see that as being sort of the obvious move for Ryan Poles to get stuff going on. So let's move on to the Twitterverse, our tweet of the week. A lot of stuff out there about free agency, a lot of rumors. Basically, the Bears are meeting with everybody. The Bears are meeting with everybody at the draft. They're meeting with they're interested in everybody in free agency, depending on how much you want to believe. So what did you pick up that you'd like to share?
For me, my tweet of the week is from actually a friend of WCG. He's one of the co-hosts of the Rule of Three podcast. It's Brandon Robinson. He is at BRobNFL. And a couple of days ago, we tweeted out the Bears would be wise to attack corner in free agency rather than the draft. There are a lot more options that are schematic fits in free agency. Position is devalued in the cover two. And then he goes on, he mentions a few guys. Less expensive, Xavier Rhodes, former Colt. Kyle Fuller, former Bear. A couple guys more expensive, Charvarius Ward, Darius Williams, Casey Hayward. But I wanted to ask you, get your thoughts about a possible reunion with Kyle Fuller. You think there's any chance at all that's something in the cards?
I always think that when you replace leadership, that there's the opportunity to mend fences. Clearly the fences were broken or the bridge was burned, whatever you want to say it, between Kyle Fuller and Ryan Pace. But Ryan Pace doesn't have a job in Chicago anymore. So why wouldn't Kyle Fuller come home? That stuff happens. Yeah. That happens a lot. And if you're going back to a defense that he feels comfortable in, heck yeah, I'm in for Kyle Fuller coming back. Kyle Fuller is one of my favorite players.
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't watched a lot of Broncos tape, admittedly. He did get benched there by Vic Fangio at some point. And, how much of that just, he wasn't able to, hold off some of the younger guys, how much of it was his play falling off. A lot of times in the NFL, players, when they fall off hard. And it's just it just happens. You're not expecting it. So I don't know if that happened with Kyle Fuller, but, the little bit of stuff I did see on him, I think a change of scenery, as weird as it sounds, of coming back to Chicago may do him well. Plus, what the Bears have a corner right now is atrocious. So even if Kyle Fuller is the guy that got benched by the Broncos and he's starting his downward spiral out of the league, he's still better than what the Bears have now.
Well, Patrick Surtain, he had an incredible rookie year. Fuller got benched, but then he was playing the second half of the year. So
he was.
It was a short benching. So it wasn't like he didn't see the field. And so he still played a lot, and, yeah. and the corners in Denver are really good. And so it's not, you know, who knows? And we always operate with incomplete information, right? Mm-hmm. You try to do your best to see if you can source some things or you can, you know, read between the lines. You never know if these guys are playing with injuries. You never know what's happening in their lives. You know, you never know if they're having a tough time, you know, someone they know is going through something and it's hurt, you know, impacting them. You never know. You're operating with incomplete information. But Kyle Fuller put enough good football on the field in Chicago that I would be more than happy with the reunion. And like B-Rob says, you know, corners in this system might be a little bit easier to get to. I like some of the names that B-Rob listed. I met B-Rob at the Senior Bowl and really great.
Oh, that's
guy.
Right. That's right.
Make sure you're following him. I really, really enjoyed meeting him. Another guy that I met at the Senior Bowl, see that transition, is Patrick Finley.
Nice. And man, right on the screen and everything. If you guys are watching that video, we have a brand new thing we're doing now, and it's man, the tweet's right there on the screen. Yeah. That's beautiful, Danny.
I uploaded the tweet here from Patrick. Very nice guy. We went out to coffee together with a couple other guys, Robert and Nicholas Moriano. And there's me name-dropping Chicago Bears guys. But he says Bears GM Ryan Poles said they looked at historical cases of how to help a quarterback after his rookie year. The takeaway, find him a receiver who could bail him out when he needs it. And so that's interesting in this discussion, because does that mean that Ryan Poles is going to go after a big name in the free agency market? Does it mean that he's tabbing that second round draft pick, or maybe the second round and plus another draft pick for wide receiver? Is it both of those things? Right. So I think that was one of those pretty good indications that receiver is going to be a point of interest for Ryan Poles in both.
It's funny. That was a few weeks ago, Danny Parkins of The Score, he actually had a tweet. He had a question out there, you know, would you rather have the best left tackle in the game today or the best wide receiver? And he, of course, was talking about, because the Bengals, you know, they passed on a top left tackle and they got Jamar Chase, you know, and I think tackle one is Pole, but I'm an O-line guy. I really am. But I think in today's NFL, if you have an elite wide receiver, that helps a quarterback more than an elite left tackle. I just look at Joe Thomas, for example, with the Browns, one of the best left tackle. His film is so fun to watch. Did he ever get to the playoff? I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I know they won nothing.
But, I don't think
you know what I mean? It's like, if you have decent guys up front, you know, but if you have a stud receiver, I think he helps a quarterback more. Now, of course, I love to have a stud left tackle, you know, but, you know, the question I had to Parkins then was, are we talking about a stud receiver and then a guy like Jamarcus Webb at left tackle? You know, that kind of changes the whole story. But, you know, if you have a decent player across the line, a decent starting five, and elite playmakers, I think that's better in today's NFL.
Yeah, I think if you're given one elite playmaker on offense, you want it to be quarterback. If you want a second elite player on offense, I think you probably want a wide receiver one. And mm-hmm. I love the idea of a Hall of Fame left tackle. I mean, who doesn't? But and EJ and I have had this conversation before on Bears Over Beers too. I'm of the belief that you're only as strong as your weakest link along the offensive line. Yes. And that, to me, I want to have five guys that can play. And I don't want one all-star, one scrub, like, you know, that stars and scrubs model that some people fill out their rosters with. I don't think it works with the offensive line. I want mm-hmm. five guys that can play. They don't have to be flashy. They don't have to be all pros. They don't have to even be Pro Bowlers. They just have to be five good offensive linemen that understand each other, play together. That's what I'm interested in. I want that level of competence along the offensive line. And then I want somebody that's going to create plays, you know, create splash plays, create those explosive plays. So I agree. I do think that it's the question is, that's in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
The question is, you're starting to see more availability of wide receivers coming out in these drafts, draft after draft after draft. You have really good wide receiver classes coming in. That's flooding the market, right? So you have more supply than you have in the past in terms of really good wide receivers. the opposite is happening with offensive linemen. You just don't see a lot of really good offensive linemen coming out of college with that much volume. And so the supply of offensive linemen is going down. Really good offensive linemen is going down. So again, in a vacuum, I agree. In reality, you have that supply and demand issue where you still have to kind of go out and spend those premium picks on good offensive linemen. Then that's in conflict with trying to get those elite pass catchers, right? So that's the interesting trade-off. And that's why this sport is amazing. Yeah. It's like, that's one little random conversation that we could have. We could probably talk for an hour about that. And that's one like morsel of the overall goodness that is off-season team building and all this kind of stuff. That's why the NFL can dominate the calendar for 12 months a year.
That's all that matters right now. It's like with baseball now, there's no baseball.
Once we get past March Madness,
even if baseball was a thing, their ratings are not as good as they were at one point. I mean, NFL really dominates the sports world.
Yeah. The draft will outdo any war, all the World Series games put together.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for sure.
Let's move on to caught up in a numbers game.
Man, so the graphics. I'm loving the graphics. We are so good here.
Well, hopefully I can remember to keep clicking it. What'd you come up with for a number?
So for my number is 12. And 12 is actually the ranking of the Bears in the salary cap space.
Okay.
Right now, they have a little over $25 million. But then with a site called Over the Cap, I use that site all the time. The Bears, they go by effective salary cap space, and that's their projection of how much space teams will have once they get the rosters of 51. The salary cap during the season only counts the top 51. That's how the cap is determined. And the effective salary cap space is also 12th once it's factored in. That's they're estimating about $19 million. So $19 million, not a lot of money to play with, and the Bears have 35 free agents. So I see a lot of people on social media think the Bears have a lot of money to play with here. They don't. They may make one or two splashes, if that. I don't think they're going to be a player on the first day of free agency as far as those really big money guys. But there's a little bit of money here. And I think with Ryan Poles and what they want to do here, they want to go in and want to attack the secondary market, which is what you guys talked about on your last show, which is awesome. I checked it out earlier today. You mentioned a lot of those targets. So I think that's the plan of attack for Ryan Poles is work that secondary market, use that 19 or so million dollars and field the best team possible for this season, and then really look to make a splash moving forward.
Yeah, and obviously, Poles has the ability here to open up more room and to start to look at other contracts, extending guys out, which I know a lot of people are going to bristle about, but that's what he has to do to open up some room here. I don't think
void years, you think, are coming?
I don't know about void years. I think that early on in a tenure, you could probably justify doing some things because you say like, hey, we're going to get relief here soon. But we have to like field a competitive roster here. And 40. All right. So my numbers actually go with yours.
Okay, perfect.
I had 12 as one of my numbers. I brought in a couple.
Was it the same one I had? The salary cap?
Yes, but yeah. I had other numbers.
We're on the same wavelength.
Well, on the same wavelength. Time off doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
So second number I had was 31. And that is the Bears are 31st in the number of players signed to their roster with 45. You mentioned that they only have 45 signed to their roster. That is a really low number. Yeah. Most teams have a lot more signed. So this idea that they have to use this effective cap space because they don't even have 51 to count against. And so basically all that effective cap space is saying is that we're going to show minimum money on those open roster spots to get you up to 51, because you have to fill up to that mm-hmm. we're going to count against your cap. So the Bears are one of the few teams that require this effective cap space number to be said because they don't have enough players. And then the other number to drive this home, when people say, hey, they got a lot of money, seven, they are seventh most dead money in the league.
I saw that.
This idea that they have, they're 12th most in cap space. 12th is so much closer to 20th and 24th than the top. Like it's just not really that much money given the state of the roster, what they need to do, the fact that they're going to need to tweak things and overhaul other things. They have one wide receiver signed. Like, you know, let's get real here. There's a lot of work for Ryan Poles to do, and it's not that much. There's not that many resources for him to do that with. You know, he doesn't have a lot of draft picks. He doesn't have a ton of cap space. So, you know, I see it a lot. I see, oh, calm down. They're fine. Those other numbers help paint context a little better. Yeah. You know, so I wanted to make sure we covered that.
You know, I mentioned the void years earlier, and you know, I think there are six players right now that are technically free agents, but as far as the accounting purposes, they're still technically on the books because they have void years. So once the league year starts, or the Bears actually, you know, they say, you know, those guys are officially cut, even though they're not under contract, all that void money will kick in this year, I believe. So, you know, there's some hidden money there that Ryan Pace left the Bears with, and you know, but a lot of GMs do it. I mean, he was GMing for his job, basically. He had to push money forward because he had to win now, and that didn't work out for him. And, you know, that's a mess Ryan Poles left to clean up here in the next couple of years.
So I want to talk about that real quick, void years, right? So let's say that you have a contract and you say, okay, we're going to spread people, and we're going to spread this out over this contract, right? So basically you take $5 million. Well, you don't want to account for, you're going to pay the guy $5 million. It's already in his bank. Okay. So, you know, Jimmy Graham already has the money in his bank, and he's bought it on basketball memorabilia or whatever Jimmy Graham spends his money on, right? And so the money's already spent, but for accounting purposes, where it goes on the books and they have to clear the books with the league on the salary cap, right? So let's say just hypothetically that $5 million and they want to spread it out over 5 years, 1 year that you're paying, and then 4 years that he's not under contract. Those are void years. And so those that gets spread out as $1 million a year. So that year that he's playing, you're only paying him $1 million on the cap. And you're going to pay him the rest of that money on the books, $1 million for each of the next 4 years. That's how it looks.
Yeah.
But then when that triggers, the void years, that all accelerates back into the next year. So that $4 million that you spread out over the next 4 years, it accelerates back into 2022. And so there's now a $4 million hit once those void years come off. So it's a desperation move. It's an emergency move. And Ryan Pace did a lot of it. And he learned it. And that was always my fear with Ryan Pace, was that he came from the Saints organization.
The Saints, exactly.
Who just, you know, and the Saints are going to be in a lot of trouble here. Like they've got a lot of issues. That's why Sean Payton retired. That's why he stepped away. He's going to come back and coach football soon, but he didn't want anything to do with that salary cap. So Ryan Pace left some gifts, some of them good, some of them not so good. So I just wanted to make that point. But
and besides those six guys I talked about, I think there's about at least six, seven, eight more. Because like when I did the position by position breakdown I did for WCG, you know, I looked at all each player's contract, and there are so many guys that had void years I wasn't aware of. You know,
I think he had to do it just to get through the year because he put himself in such a bad position. And all of those things that we have like complained about over the years caught up, right? Like
kicking the can down the road.
The idea that like who cares about the Mike Glennon money, right? You know, it doesn't matter. It does. All of that stuff can roll over, right? Yeah. So all of those that snowballs, all those bad contracts that he gave out, that snowballs in to what he had to do last year, which was just barely be able to make it through the year. So again, if I look at these numbers way too much, and I just see people casually be like, they got the 12th most in the league. It's like, yeah, that's not, no, let's not do that to ourselves, Bears fans. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we will do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, Lester, let's talk about the three Bears. So how we're going to do this is that, I mean, these guys aren't Bears yet. They're potential Bears or maybe never going to be Bears, but we're going to throw this in the context of the hot bowl of porridge is a free agency move that, you know, we think the Bears will do, or like a rumor is that heating up, or, you know, something that like feels like it's got some momentum. It kind of feels kind of scorching hot that you can kind of buy into it. So what'd you come up with?
You know, for me, it kind of alluded to what you said earlier, and it's after hearing Ryan Poles talk at the combine, how he talked about, you know, wide receiver, you know, he talked about the importance of having that for a young quarterback. You know, I'm kind of with you. I think he's going to go big at wide receiver, whether that's a trade for Calvin Ridley, who is with the Falcons and he's rumored to be on the block, free agent Mike Williams, Chargers. You know, he's a guy they may not be able to get back in L.A. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, he's coming off an injury, but he's a true number one that he would be a guy that Fields could count on him to be there for him. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not the flashiest name, but, you know, he's a guy that can play from the slot, and he is that, you know, real security blanket type guy with his good hands. And then another guy you guys talked about with you and EJ, you know, DJ Chark with Jacksonville. I think that would be kind of a neat signing, because that would be really deja vu, you know, a brand new Bears regime, you know, taking an injured Jags receiver coming off an injury, see what happens there. But I think Chark's a guy that, you know, he checks all those boxes that the Bears are looking for. He's, you know, he hasn't really had that Pro Bowl season quite yet, but he has had a 1,000-yard season. I believe he's 6'5". He's a really big physical presence. And I think he's a guy that could be with a young quarterback. He knows when he needs to make a play, he can throw it up to that guy. He can go get it.
Yeah, I think he fits. I like Chark a lot. My guy, I've kind of talked myself into this as being a thing. And this is just from when EJ and I recorded over the weekend, but Mo Alie-Cox. I think that this is going to happen, because
you seem really excited about that pick. Yeah.
I mean, I like the name a lot. Yeah. Like, it's hard for me to hide just how much I like that name, but he played for the Colts. So obviously Eberflus has a good familiarity with him. I think he just is a guy that is affordable, that can come in and he can create a connection. I don't see why you couldn't play both him and Cole Kmet at the same time. He seems pretty well-rounded. I just like the player, and I like the connection. I feel like there's something there. So I'm all in on Mo Alie-Cox.
I like Cox. I mean, he's early in his career, he's known more for a blocker. So he's pretty good as a blocker. I think he's like 6'7". He's a big, big target. He's really good in the red zone. And, you know, the Bears, we talk about positions of need. You don't hear it tight end much, but who do they have on their roster right now? It's Cole Kmet. It's Jesper Horsted, I believe, is a exclusive rights free agent, so he'll be back, I'm sure. But, you know, they need some bodies there too, because, you know, it's, you know, the Bears are going to do a lot of three wide out sets, but you still need a couple tight ends there. You know, they're going to have at least three on the roster. Right now, they don't have them.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I don't know. I feel like after that show, I've kind of talked myself into it. And I do like to try to make these connections with the GMs or the coaching staff. And that was one that I just couldn't get over. So what about the opposite side? What's a free agent rumor that you've heard or a lot of people talking about wanting it to happen that feels like cooling off, or there's just no way that that's going to happen?
You mentioned it earlier, and that's Bears fans right now are dreaming of Ryan Jensen. He's kind of a nasty, really son of a, you know, just he's that guy. I mean, right. he will get under your skin. He fits what Ryan Poles talked about, wanting a nasty guy in his O-line. That's Ryan Jensen. But with the Marpet retirement, you know, I think that's a hole that they don't want to have to deal with the entirety of their interior O-line. I think they keep Jensen. Plus, Jensen's going to set the market. He is, whether he goes somewhere else or stays in Tampa Bay, he is going to be the top paid center in the NFL. He's just that good. So my cold bowl of cord is going to Bears fans still holding on to the Ryan Jensen dream.
I mean, yeah, we already covered it. I didn't want to just make the whole show about offensive linemen. So I didn't go there, but I think with the Marpet retirement, that really sort of sealed it for me that I just don't see him hitting the market. I think he's going to stay there. I actually picked a different Buccaneer, and this is Chris Godwin. And Chris Godwin gets a lot of buzz. I like Chris Godwin as a player. He's going to get paid incredibly well. And I believe that Chris Godwin's a two. He's like an incredible two, but I think he needs a number one with him to be really successful. And maybe that's just I lack imagination, and I've only really seen him with, you know, with Mike Evans on the other side. Yeah. You know, but this seems like a classic trap. Is I'm going to pay Chris Godwin wide receiver one money to be my, you know, top dog number one wide receiver, and he comes in and he's not going to be able to carry it. And so I worry about that because he's going to get top money, and I don't think the Bears can afford it to begin with. And so I think that they might save themselves that pain. Mike Williams, I think, might come a little cheaper because he just hasn't had quite the publicity. And you get kind of lost. Chargers get kind of lost. They don't really get as much TV time as some of these other teams. So I really like Mike Williams. I think that would be really good. I'm not sure I would consider him a one, but I would be a little bit better with a Mike Williams signing because I think it'll come a little cheaper. But anyway, the cold bowl for me is this the idea of top end wide receiver free agent money, because the Bears just don't have it.
Yeah, I can't see Godwin. There was also something out there tweeted out a couple days ago that I forget who it was, but they were tweeting out they were pretty sure that Godwin was staying in Tampa somehow, some way.
Oh,
and, wow. And you know, I think with them, you know, the Bucks are funny because they're either going to rebuild. Because what is it? Blaine Gabbert's their quarterback now. I mean, that's who they're lined up. And I can't see it happening. So they're. I mean, they're either going to have to make a decision: are we going to rebuild and take like 1 year to reset, or they're going to make a splashy trade and, you know, Russell Wilson or something like that go there. But you know, the Bucks are interesting to watch just to kind of see how they navigate this free agency right here.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Arians is already retired once. I don't really see him wanting to work through a rebuild, but you never know about these guys. These guys are wired different.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to retire, you know, like I'm already kind of excited about it, and it's decades away. Right. Yeah. But you know, these guys are like, yeah, I'm going to coach into my 70s. I don't get it, man. All right. Just right. This is the bowl of porridge that, you know, this is what we expect. This is a no brainer free agent move that we think the Bears are just going to do. They're just going to pull the trigger.
You know, for me, there's a lot of talk about Matt Eberflus and his entire defensive coaching staff. They're all former Colts. They're going to pick some Colts, right? No, but it's happening. But there's not enough talk about Luke Getsy wanted to bring some Packers over. So I think I think that somehow, some way, there's going to be some Packers coming over, you know, and they have a lot of free agents, and they have a messed up cap as well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers probably going to get re-signed to a huge deal. You know, they got to cut a lot of guys to get just to fit him under the cap. So are they going to be able to re-sign on the O-line, Dennis Kelly, Lucas Patrick? They're both kind of been reserved starters a bit through the last couple of years. But I think both guys come in with understanding of the type of offense. They're both fairly athletic. I think one of those guys could be free. And then at wideout, they're not going to get Davante Adams. I think that's that's not happening.
Adams stays, right.
But they have Marquise Valdez-Scantling, who I'm not a huge fan of. Equanimous St. Brown is also a free agent. Then they have Alan Lazard, who is a restricted free agent, but depending on the tag they give him, you know, it may be worth it for the Bears to go after him. He's a tough receiver, a good blocker. He just had his best year ever as a pro. So I think somehow, some way, the Bears are going to get some of these Packers. And it's kind of weird because they're Packers, but you know, they know Luke Getsy's system. They know the scheme they're going to have here in Chicago. So, you know, you want to have some of your guys to kind of help with the transition. I think that's going to happen for sure.
I think MVS is interesting. I think that the Bears Twitterverse likes him a lot more than I do. And
his hands are shaky.
Yes, he does not have the best hands.
Great speed.
Right. You can't coach speed, but yeah. I feel like you know, if you're in the NFL, you've probably revealed what kind of hands catcher you are at this point. And it's tough to see big gains in terms of how well you catch the ball. But I don't know. He's not my favorite guy. He does get mentioned a lot. But, you know, I'd rather go after
six
a guy
foot
like
five,
Chark, right?
You know, yeah, yeah. Pretty, to me, they're similar players.
Very
much. With Scantling, he has more speed, you know, but Chark's a damn good player as well. He's a better hands catcher, from what I understand. And, you know, like I said, I've watched probably more Packers games than I have Jaguars games. But with a guy like MVS, you do have the dropsies.
Yep. Yeah, I don't – it's not exactly what I want in a free agent wide receiver. But yeah. – All right, my guy. Now, again, you kind of—I thought you were going the same way because you're like, "Oh, it's going to be obvious that you know Eberflus is going to sign a defensive guy." That was the guy that I identified. Like, it just seems right. And I'm going to say a name that I don't think I've actually heard anybody talk about, or if they have, I haven't really seen it. And that's Malik Hooker. And I think Malik Hooker next to Eddie Jackson would be a lot of fun. Yeah. And you know, this is a former premium pick. He you know, he struggled a bit to stay on the field, but he would have played for Eberflus for a couple of years. Again, had some injuries. He went down to Dallas last year. I thought he played okay when he had his opportunities there. I don't know. You know, we just see this rotating, you know, cast of characters next to Eddie Jackson. And Malik Hooker kind of interests me. If he can stay healthy, that's an elite talent. And adding an elite talent next to Eddie Jackson, who hopefully will get unlocked. I know we've been saying that the last couple of years, but hopefully that he gets unlocked in this defense. They let Eddie Jackson be Eddie Jackson. You got a playmaker beside him. All of a sudden, this secondary is starting to look a little bit more interesting, right? Jalen Johnson comes back. He comes back strong. Maybe you add Kyle Fuller in, you know, or maybe you add a draft pick in, you know, maybe Thomas Graham can step up and solidify one of those roles. And maybe this secondary that looks pretty scary right now can start to look pretty interesting with just a few key signings. So Malik Hooker, to me, is more I thought about it, it was the more I thought he's going to come cheap. You know, the head coach is going to know him well. This feels like a fit.
He's just 25 years old. So
oh my God, are you kidding me?
I just looked it up because I was curious. I'm like, he hasn't been in the league very, very long.
God, it feels longer than
and,
that.
He's 25 years old. He'll turn 26 though, coming up here in a couple months. But still, that's and as far as the safety goes, 26. That's
you're in your 20s. No issues.
That's your prime. Yeah, yeah. I mean that's a good fit. He knows the defense, like you said. You know, this whole rotating cast of characters next to Eddie Jackson. You got to get a guy. You got to get someone in there. You know, let them learn a little bit, grow a little bit together, you know, get that, you know, the more you play with each other, the more you know what you're going to do, especially in a zone-based defense, which the Bears are going to be having this coming up season. You want a guy that knows the scheme, you want a guy you trust, and, you know, you got to get the back end figured out.
So that's the show. Anything else that's going on in the offseason that you want to tease or that you want to talk about that we've done?
This the combine is going on right now. I'm sure we got a bunch of stuff coming up on the site. I know we got some drafts. I mean, it's you know, like I said, it's 12 months a year. There is no stop for the NFL.
Well, I want to just kind of tease a project that I'm playing with right now, and that's I'm going to try to take the temperature of the fan base this off season. I want to do a podcast series. I want to do some interviews, maybe some small group discussions with some fans, kind of get to their perspective and try to bring in a different element than we've done in the past. You know, I've done a few off season projects, you know, did the history project and, you know, done some other things, did the artwork article last year. And this I think is interesting. We're at an inflection point in the organization. You've got a new general manager, a new head coach, you've got a new quarterback that, you know, I mean, you know, going into his second year, but really his first full off season with actually being the starter and given all of the resources to put behind him. And I think this is an interesting time to take the temperature of where Bears fans are at. So going to be looked for that. Look for Bears Over Beers. Of course, when we can drag EJ out of the film room, we'll cut some episodes. We'll get Jacob Infante on here soon. To do a draft episode, and then, you know, we'll continue to grind through the off season with you guys, and we'll do more of these. If you guys are interested in these live streams, we can continue doing those, and you guys can interact with us if you want. We'll do a little Q&A after future ones to, you know, after we hit end on the broadcast, and we'll go from there. So
yeah, right now our video channel is we're still working out the kinks. You know, we just got the software. You know, we're our own producers now, or I should say, you know, you're the producer now. So,
oh boy.
So we have that working for us right now. We rebranded the video channel. So it is now Second City Gridiron is now the video home to the WCG podcast channel. So all our stuff will be going up there. That was previously the Bears Over Beers channel. So thank you for allowing us to rebrand that for all of our shows. And that's our goal is get the, because we know a lot of people like watching the show. I don't know why. I would not want to watch myself, but you know, but the people, you know, the people want it. So, you know, we'll try and do some video stuff as much as possible. All our pods, of course, will be in both spots. So it should be a fun off season as we ramp up towards the 2022 season.
Yeah, like, subscribe, comment, and, you know, download the podcast too, you know, because those things help us. So, you know, you can watch it on YouTube and you can download it. So otherwise, we'll keep rolling along. You know, make sure you're sticking with the website for all the updates, and check out the videos if that's something that interests you. But until next time, bear down.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.